Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hey, all, I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 15th, 2011, episode 272, sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a great week so far. It's only Tuesday, I hate to say, but you know what? A week from tomorrow, and we'll only be a couple days away from a long weekend. Or a week from, Thursday, actually. So not too far along till the holiday season kicks in, and then all you're going to be thinking about is shopping and doing things like that anyway. Hey, Jamie.
No, the stress.
I got to tell you that we've had more comments about last Thursday's show. If you didn't hear last Thursday's show, go back and listen to the beginning of the show where Jamie is talking about the gopher situation. That was one of the funniest things. It's definitely going on my best of list for the future. And
oh God.
Today we may have another story, right? Isn't the gopher killer extraordinaire, master gopher killer, the ninja of gopher killers coming out?
Well, you know, he better be the ninja of gopher killing, as expensive as this thing is. But you know what? Totally worth it. I'm paying somebody to take care of my problem. They actually come out, Glenn. They called yesterday and said they would be out between 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning. I guess they do their gopher killing early. Why not? I would. So if the show is punctuated with the doorbell ringing or dogs barking, that is because the master has arrived. Sensei has shown up.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can go answer the door when it comes to killing those darn gophers. Although, if you get rid of the gophers, half the comedy in our show is gone.
I'm sure I'll find something else. Please, God, give me something else. I promise.
Well, we are so looking forward to the update tomorrow morning, and hopefully there won't be 60 little gophers giving you the finger anymore.
Yeah, thanks. It'll be hopefully good.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, it's all about your point of view. Well, ours too. We start out with the Marines versus Rockstar points of view on a particular first date that I'm sure many of you headline surfers will know about, followed by Chris Stafford's point of view on her upcoming live Equestrian Legends podcast. This is going to be a really awesome opportunity to chat live with one of the equestrian legends on her show. And as if that wasn't enough, Buck the Film is now out on Netflix instant download and has elicited some strong points of view on the forums, which of course leads to further postings of even more points of view on the forums. So we're going to chat about that a little bit. So stay tuned. It's going to be an opinionated ride from my point of view.
Okay. I cannot wait to tell you guys this story. I'm sure a lot of people heard about it yesterday. That's where I heard about it, was on the news. But I am now the biggest Justin Timberlake fan in the world. But Glenn has a daily Winnie, so you go ahead and you go first, and then I'll get to mine.
All right.
Sammy Joe, our friend who is the zebra lady and comes on and talks about her zebra and her water buffalo and all that, and she's a regular guest here on the Horse Radio Network. She had a funny thing she posted on Facebook. She actually went over the weekend and did some AKC competitions with her dogs. I don't know when she has time to do it all. I just don't know when she has time to do everything she does. But she went to 3 different AKC competitions over the weekend. But she wrote this on her Facebook page yesterday, and it cracked me up. She said, while studying the AKC obedience rulebook, I came across this rule that made me laugh. Quote, the judge may excuse any bitch that appears so attractive to males as to be a disturbing element.
That's just funny. That's just funny in so many ways.
I don't know that we need to comment on that. It's just...
Yeah, that's funny.
I have spent a lifetime being disturbed by good-looking women. So
good-looking bitches?
I didn't say that.
We were, of course, talking about the dogs. Thank you.
Dogs, yeah.
this Daily Winnie goes out to Justin Timberlake because, my God, this guy... is, you know what? I think that Justin Timberlake is a guy that was in a boy band that is now so cool that most guys, like my husband, would love to hate him. Being a former boy band guy and blah, blah, blah. You know what? They can't because he's so freaking cool. You can't not like Justin Timberlake. Challenge me to find somebody who doesn't like Justin Timberlake with the whole bleep in a box and being on Saturday Night Live and making these funny songs and then going out and performing and then being in all these movies. He's fantastic. And this is what he did this past weekend. Play the audio, Glenn.
This female Marine is asking Justin Timberlake out on a date.
Well, I'm going to call you out.
Hoping he'll take his own advice.
Do it for your country.
That's what Timberlake told his co-star, Mila Kunis, after a male Marine stationed in Afghanistan tilted his shades and asked Mila out via YouTube.
Hey, Mila. Sergeant Moore, as you can call me Scott.
What?
I just want to take a moment out of my day to invite you to the Marine Corps Ball on November 18th in Greenville, North Carolina, with yours truly. So take a second, think about it, get back to me.
Now, chances are the last time Mila Kunis was asked out on a semi-blind date was when CNN's own Wolf Blitzer invited her to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Hey, this is my date!
And though Wolf is more famous than Sergeant Scott Moore, the sergeant had Justin Timberlake on his side during a Fox News interview.
This needs to go down. This needs to happen.
Okay.
Do it for your country.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, well, you do it for your country, Justin Timberlake. Because now this Marine wants you.
So, Justin, you want to call out my girl Mila? Well, I'm going to call you out and ask you to come to the Marine Corps Ball with me on November 12th in Washington, D.C.
Corporal Kelsey DeSantis is the only female Marine at the Martial Arts Center for Excellence at Quantico. She's an instructor with a black belt who sometimes does cage fights. Kelsey is a fan of Timberlake's. She got the idea to invite him to the Marine Corps Ball after seeing him so enthusiastically tell Mila Kunis to go. Her friend set up a Facebook page called Let's Get Justin Timberlake to the Marine Corps Ball with Kelsey, complete with an array of photos so impressive, well, how could Timberlake tell her to go jump in a lake or even a river?
And if you can't go, all I have to say is cry me a river.
Hey, the corporal's got a tattoo, too. And that's just the one we can see. When we asked the friend who helped set up the Facebook page whether Kelsey could kick Justin Timberlake's butt if he turned her down, she said, oh, yeah, for sure. This Marine isn't looking for a few good men, just one.
Okay. Do it for your country.
Jeannie Mose.
Hit me up.
CNN. Hey. New York.
So, after all of that, the Marine Corps Ball was this past weekend. They both went. Now, we have the links for both of the people, both Kelsey and Justin, posting on their blogs about the date. Well, Kelsey, you know, basically just thanks Justin repeatedly and how great a time they had and how he's very sweet. But Justin Timberlake took it a little bit differently. And I'm just going to read a little thing from his blog talking about this, this date. So he's talking about his date. She seemed to me so humble and honest, very cool. She was also simultaneously seemed like she was nervous about the whole evening and if I was going to enjoy myself. Are you okay? She asked me two or three times. I hope you're having fun. I know you will once my crew of friends gets here to the table. I have to tell you, it's not every day that I meet a 23-year-old girl and she's more worried about if I'm having fun or if I'm comfortable. It hit me all of a sudden that these were the type of the people that look after us and our freedom. Humble, concerned for others before themselves. This was the type of person our Marine Corps was building. I was really, really blown away. Just for him to take that angle of going on this date and not making a joke, he basically says how honored he was and how he said that it was so moving that he had no idea he would be so moved by the entire experience. So,
well,
Daily, we need to check.
Apparently they played a video at the beginning of the dinner after the formalities started, and it was the Marines from World War II through September 11th, the ones who were involved with that, and then all the way up through current, and telling their stories and, you know, the good and the bad. And he was just so moved. Apparently everybody in the room was crying, but he was so moved by that. And the other thing, this Kelsey is one tough cookie. She's got this black belt, but she's also a cage fighter. I mean, she is a tough cookie. She could have kicked his butt for sure. But no, but he came away from it going, I'm proud of my country. I'm proud of the people who represent our country.
Absolutely. She said, he goes on to say that we all have our own individual views on war, but isn't that what makes our country so special? We can all wake up every morning and be individuals with a pure sense of freedom. And this is something that Justin Timberlake took from the Marine Corps ball and learned from it. Just he's so cool. He says, thank you, Kelsey, for being my hero. That's how he ends it. Oh, come on. I wonder if he kissed her on the mouth. I want to know. I want to know.
She didn't say anything about a kiss in the mouth. She said a hug. I think that's what she said at the end of hers. But then she might not kiss and tell. She is a Marine.
Exactly. And he says that when they left, he had to catch a plane. So I said my goodbyes, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't know if he kissed her on the mouth. I want to know.
Well, at the end, she says, as the night came to a close, we walked out with Justin and said our goodbyes. But he didn't get to leave the ball without first receiving a bayonet engraved with Justin Come Tussle Timberlake. They always give her So that's apparently his name. And she looked good in her uniform, all dressed up. And he did, too. Looked like he had a good time from the pictures. Jennifer will post the link so you can actually see the pictures, too.
I just can't imagine, because I've been to a lot of these Air Force balls, and they do, oh, my gosh, they just crush you with videos at the beginning that just, you know, the whole thing is set up mostly like graduations and balls that we go to, and it is just set up to make you proud of your country. And I cannot tell you the amount of times that I cry at the beginning of these things, because a lot of times they do play videos that really make you emotional and moving and proud of your country. And I cannot imagine sitting there watching that video with somebody like Justin Timberlake in the room. It had to be so distracting, I would think.
Now, your first ball you went to, were you surprised? Did you think it was going to be different than it actually was?
You know, the problem, it's funny you ask me. Yeah, I definitely was, because Chad's mother told me that it is an incredibly formal event. The first graduation, which is Chad's students, and they graduate about every 9 months. So we go to a graduation about every 9 months, and she told me it was the most incredibly formal event that you could possibly go to, and that I needed to get dressed like I was going, you know, Cinderella's ball. Okay. So I could try. I didn't know anybody. I'd been here like a month maybe, and I didn't know anybody from the Air Force. I had no girlfriends to call and be like, hey, what are you wearing? Okay, what are you wearing? I get completely formally dressed up in a ball gown, and I get there, and honest to God, women are wearing pants. Oh, horrible. It was horrible. It's just
like,
so,
like you showing up to Garth Brooks with your cowboy hat and being the only one there with a cowboy hat.
Yeah. Exactly. I am the queen of dressing inappropriately.
You go through life, no matter what you do, you go through life as that girl. See, now, okay. If they made a bayonet for you, or in I guess in your husband's case, a bullet or something, a big bomb, if they made one with your name on it, it would be Janie That Girl Jennings. You would be that girl.
Oh, my God, yeah. Now I know that just to wear something nice and everybody, you won't stand out. God, and it's just the worst to be like that girl, especially when you're in a room full of people that are in uniform. Like, it's the worst. Oh, God, okay. So I've got something that I wanted to go over with our listeners, and I want to challenge them because I come on here and I tell my stories about these ridiculous horse things that happened to me, and I cannot be the only one that ridiculous horse things happen to. So I want to challenge our listeners to either write or tell me a Reader's Digest story about you and your horse. What happened? What was funny? Because, you know, while I talked about my trip this past weekend, I did not tell everything that happened visiting Chad's grandparents. And Chad's grandfather grew up on a farm and told me a story that I will never forget. And I'm going to tell you guys, but I want all our listeners, I want to challenge them to tell, call 347-637-3238. Give us a call and let us know a funny horse story or something. And I'll give a prize to the best story. And I guess I kind of am looking for stories like this. Okay, Glenn, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so Chad's grandpa, he is 95 years old and grew up on a farm, as did about everybody who's 95, because you had to take care of, you had to feed yourself. So he grew up on a farm, and he had a neighbor that was a girl that rode horses. And he would always go over to their house and ride horses because they were very poor and they couldn't afford to buy a horse. Well, they had a three-year-old stud colt over there at this farm that he would handle and taught to pick up its feet and taught him to be groomed, but the horse had never been ridden. Well, this is the Depression, and nobody had any money, and it kind of sounds like the people that owned the stud colt were trying to get rid of it. Unbroke three-year-old stud colt. The father of the girl walks outside and says, listen, and his name is Odie. Listen, Odie, if you get on that horse and you ride him home today, you can have him. So we've got a guy that is going to tame a three-year-old stud colt and ride him home. And if he does that, he can have him. Well, lo and behold, Odie gets the horse saddled, bridled, gets on him, and rides him home. He said that horse didn't buck. He spooked a little bit here and there, but the horse never offered to buck because he had spent so much time with him. So he gets the horse home. It's his. But he didn't own a saddle. So, being the Depression, he sent off for a saddle. That's what you had to do back then. And we're talking like, you know,
probably out of the Sears Roebuck catalog.
You bet your butt. So this saddle comes from the Sears catalog, and it shows up at his house. Now, we're talking a saddle that was probably very cheap, and that was 85 years ago. So the saddle comes to him, and it's just dry grain leather. And you're supposed to buy, and we still do it now, is you're supposed to buy a conditioner to put on top of the saddle because it's just plain leather. But he didn't have the money for the conditioner, and he thought, I'll just work up to saving up for the leather conditioner and before it is. So now he's just got this plain old grain leather saddle that he's riding around in. Well, his mother comes outside and asks him, says, if you want to keep that horse, you put me up on it and take me for a ride. Well, who's going to argue with that? Well, his mother was not a horse person, And he boosts his mom up into his brand new untreated grain leather saddle and goes to walk her around on her on his 3-year-old unbroke stud colt. Well, the horse is pretty good. He leads it forward about 4 steps and it starts to trot. And he starts to get a hold of the horse. But at that time, he heard his mother scream. She screamed bloody murder. He stops the horse and he realizes that his mother has just urinated all over his saddle out of fear. This man is telling me this story and he is 95 years old. And he looks at me and he says, Jamie, do you know what a gallon of urine will do to an untreated leather saddle?
I'm not sure that's a real good conditioner.
He goes, I cleaned that thing for years. Never got the stain out.
Or the smell.
Oh, or the smell. Right
in, huh?
Soaked it right up. You can't ever get that off your saddle, your mom's urine. Your mom peed on your saddle, okay?
I don't think I'd ever sat in it again. I think I want to order a new one from Sears Roebuck. Oh, my God, that's funny.
The second
I was not expecting that ending.
No, me neither. Imagine me sitting there in front of the fireplace, all snuggled up, grandpa's telling stories, but he had never even told that story to his children. Just me, because I was the horse person. So I want to challenge our listeners to tell any stories like that. I did have one more grandpa story. I couldn't believe he just started telling me these things, and I don't know if we have time for it or not. What
yeah, go
think?
Ahead. We have time. And if you do want to call us, give us a call at 347-637-3238 anytime.
Well, he says that this same 3-year-old stud colt, a couple of years later, he said still they were very poor, and it was the still the Depression, and most people had cattle. Well, they had one cow, one single solitary milk cow, and every morning and every night it was his job to go out and milk this milk cow. Well, at one point, they had turned the cow out into the pasture, and she was in the way back part of the pasture. And so he hops on his 3-year-old stud colt, Lenny, by the way, and Lenny, go riding on out into the field, and he goes to catch the cow. And he's behind her, and he's walking her in. Well, he's 17 years old. He's on this 3-year-old stud colt, and he's got a cow in front of him. And he said that this milk cow had incredibly long horns. So he said that at one point the cow started running, and just kind of trotting a little bit, and he decided he was going to bulldog the milk cow. So he holds his horse back, gallops up, leaps off his horse, grabs the horns, and bulldogs, which is like to flip over, this poor ancient milk cow. He does it. He jumps off. He grabs the horns. He flips her over, lays her down. Poor old milk cow, utter flying, milk flying. And then he said, he goes, yep, I got up, dusted myself off. Never told my dad about that story, but he often wondered why that cow would never let me milk her again.
You know, tipping cattle back then was a common thing. It's like a stinky kid.
But he leapt on top of it like he was going to bulldog calves.
Rodeo.
Not ancient, old-ass milk cows. So that's Tales from Grandpa, the segment. new segment.
All right. Thank you. That was funny. I'm never going to forget the urine story, the pee story.
Right. Oh, good.
You know, there was this weekend too. There was a runaway horse in another parade. You know, we always have those stories. This is the one of stupidity. People who don't know anything about horses and do a stupid thing. So this was the Sarasota, Florida. It was the Veterans Day parade, And this particular horse that got away had been in the parade, trotted more than a mile down the busy streets of Sarasota, never had a problem. Everything was fine. 16-year-old horse named Shay. Well, this poor little girl, I think she appeared to be a teenager, goes to put the horse in the trailer. Well, there's people wandering around. When you're at parades like that, there's all kinds of people wandering around. And this guy decides that he'd go up, and he thought it was a great idea. Apparently, she didn't know this guy at all. Thought it'd be a great idea to go up and do what? Right after she walks the horse in the trailer, pat the horse on the butt. So what does the horse do? Bolts backwards after being patted on the butt, bolts backwards, takes off, and apparently has basically a joyride around town, which concerned the police. It took two Sarasota police officers on motorcycles to corral the horse about, they say it was a mile away by the time they corralled it. Nobody was injured. The horse was fine. Everything was good. But a little wild ride. It just if you don't know much about horses, stay away. Don't come up and pat them when we're trying to put them on the trailer. That's hard enough to begin with. Let's not.
Can you imagine? I mean, Sarasota, Florida, okay, is a retirement community. And this is at the Veterans Day Parade. Do you know how many of our older citizens were probably scared to death when they saw a horse galloping by down the street on Pineapple Avenue?
That's true. Hey, did you see the guy who made that It was a Saudi Arabian country somewhere. Who made that, cart that runs on horsepower. It's called
Nature Mobile. I'm a little confused by this because I don't understand what the horse actually does.
Picture a sort of truckish looking thing with wheels. It has two wheels in the rear, double wheels in the rear, and wheels in the front, the steer and everything, but it's all clear. It's completely covered. Truckish looking thing that's covered in like plexiglass so you can see in it. And inside, he has a horse standing on a treadmill. And the horse walks or trots on the treadmill, and the treadmill drives the wheels of the vehicle. So instead of the horse actually pulling the vehicle, the horse is on a treadmill and drives the vehicle 1 horsepower by the treadmill. And apparently, it's geared in such a way that it'll get up to 80 kilometers an hour.
What?
No, I don't know how it goes that fast. He must have it geared in such a way that the gears make it drive faster. He said apparently the cruising speed is more like a sedate 20 miles an hour.
But the horse is on a treadmill?
And the treadmill drives the wheels. So
okay,
I guess if you want to slow down, you just use walk, trot, canter. I don't know. I don't know how you change gears. But bizarre looking.
Okay.
Jennifer will post a link to it so that you can.
What is the guy's name who made this gun?
It's Abdul Hadi Marahajazizi.
That is actually pretty good.
I thought it was pretty close, actually.
A couple updates on some of the racehorses, and then maybe you could tell us about the Olympic cross country course fences, Glenn. But Uncle Mo has been, you know, he's obviously retired to Ashford Stud. His liver enzymes were high again, so they decided to retire Uncle Mo, and he went to Ashford Stud, and they have now said what his actual stud fee is going to be. Now, before I say his stud fee, I want to say that, like, Thunder Gulch goes for $10,000. Tail of the Cat, $30,000. Looking at Lucky is $30,000. Grand Slam, $12,000. Fusaichi Pegasus, who won the Derby, $15,000. Then you go down to Uncle Mo, newly standing at stud, hardly raced as a three-year-old, was a two-year-old champion. His starting off stud fee is $35,000.
Wow. Starting them off big, huh?
Does that seem a little excessive to you for starting? Because the thing is, you don't want to start them out too high, the thinking in thoroughbreds is, because you want people to breed to him, but you don't want to start him off too low so you don't undervalue him. So, I mean, like 10, 15, that's what I was thinking his stud fee would be when I saw $35,000. I mean, that's more than – many of their horses. It's the second most expensive horse at Ashford Stud, behind Giant's Causeway. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, when you have no track records, because nobody knows if his children are going to produce anything.
No, I know. I mean, you have no idea whatsoever. Granted, he's got some great bloodlines, but holy cow, like, that just seems like an awful lot for a starting out fee and whatever. But I guess it doesn't sound like a lot compared to Darley's Johnnabel Farm, who, remember, Zenyatta got bred last year and was bred to a horse, and his name was Bernardini. Mm-hmm. Remember him?
Yeah, I remember that little stud colt.
Yes, Bernardini last year stood for $75,000. Well, he had many, many horses doing incredibly well, several horses in the Breeders' Cup, and his fee this year has been doubled to $150,000. Holy moly. That's a lot. Doubled.
Wow. $150,000 per occurrence?
Well, that would be a live foal guarantee, I would imagine. But, yeah, the horse, if the foal stands and nurses, you owe the money. It could fall over dead the next day, but whatever. They don't
care. That's a good job. Yeah. That is a good job.
You want to come back as a stud?
I cannot think of a better job in the whole world than that. Can I be reincarnated, like, now? Can I just sign up for that now? Can you be reincarnated without dying? Can I ask that first? Maybe there's a way to do that.
Oh, yeah, but then you have to do that with horses. So it's kind of, you know, whatever. I guess if you are a horse, it's probably a good thing. But, yeah, so $150,000, I dare say that would probably not sway Zenyatta's owners. They'd probably pay it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem at all. Hey, we have a caller on the line here. I haven't called us in a long time, and I want to see hear his opinion on that, because he's a member of the Man Nation. Good morning, Wayne. How are you? Wayne Williams on the line here.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good.
Morning.
Hey, you know, don't you want
good
to
morning.
Be reincarnated and make $150,000 per stud duty that you do? I think that's a good job.
Well, you know, I have to think about that. There are parts of that are very intriguing. But then again, if you get reincarnated and do that, it's sort of like, you know, if you could be 22 again, I would only go back if I could take with me the knowledge I've already gained so I know what I'm doing with it. So,
you know what, though, Dwayne? God, if I had that job, I wouldn't care what I knew. It wouldn't matter. I really only have to know how to do one thing.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I don't know. It's you know, to go back, and there are the times you would like to look at being reincarnated for different things. And you know, I haven't had the pleasure of interviewing Shirley MacLaine, so I don't have the total inside track on this. But it could be a very interesting thing.
Hey, I saw that you were, I saw on your Facebook page that you were in my neck of the woods over the last weekend.
I was a weekend or so ago at the CHA, or Certified Horsemanship Association convention. I was there just for the hospitality night.
So you went for the free booze and food and then nothing else?
Well, it wasn't free booze, but I went for that, yeah.
Okay.
I was invited down just for the, you know, for some interviews and some promotional stuff, and was there just for the night and then moved on to another location for a day or so. I did not go for the whole convention. I kind of thought I'd see you guys walking around there.
Yeah, I just think I was ill that night. We were supposed to go over there, and I think I was sick that night, and we just didn't make it, but we did want to go. You were there with a few celebrities, too, from what I heard.
Well, I interviewed the gentleman with the Equine Practitioners Association. They're getting ready for their big convention in San Antonio. And two or three of the president of CHA currently. And don't ask me for all these names because they're not right on the tip of my
tongue. Well, I know Julie Goodnight was there, right?
Julie was there. I did not get to interview Julie. She did not make it over while I was there. But Julie was there. Colleen Kelly out of Australia was there. There were some really good people at the convention. And CHA does a lot of wonderful things. So, you know, it's good to support them and back them and help spread the word about what they do.
I know that you said the AAP convention's coming up. Did you ever go to that, Jamie, when you were working for the vet?
AAEP, yes. I did go to one convention in San Diego.
And how was that? I know Wendy's leaving, I think, this weekend, Saturday, to head over. I think it's next week, early next week.
Coming up next week, yes.
Yeah, I think it's fabulous for vets. I mean, what a great way to continue your education, because they have to get continuing education things. Now, it's a different story for the technicians. While it's a great thing, I mean, the AAEP is all about the vets, and they go and they have a great time. And I think they party a lot, but I do think they learn as well.
So what's new at any convention? You know, you've got to have a little fun at night as well. But they do a lot of good things. And this year at San Antonio, down on the Riverwalk. So
yeah,
that would not be bad duty either, you know.
I got to tell you, yeah. Wayne, we just got a posting on our Facebook page on the reincarnating as Bernardini subject. Susan Nelson writes, you can sign up for it, Glenn, but look at the husband on Sister Wives, the TV show with the guy with all the wives. He's aging really fast.
Yeah, well, look, you know, Secretariat.
Hey, Susan, I'm aging fast, and I don't have 12 wives.
Secretariat had over 600 foals, and he didn't make it past 19.
Wow, make a good point.
Wait,
where to go, though?
Where can people find your show again?
Just go to speakingofhorses.com. And check it all out. And you had mentioned something in a message to me about a blizzard report. Well, I'm sitting here in southeast Wisconsin, and it's going to be near 60 today. Now, it's going to get cold tonight, but it's not too bad for this time of year. And the cold snap comes in tonight, but we don't have any snow, no blizzard. We did get a few flurries a few days ago, but so far we're flirting with a fairly decent November.
Well, enjoy that, Wayne, because it's bound to change. Very.
Yeah, I know. We got Packers by
it's
the going to
be buried in snow very shortly,
well.
Wayne.
Yeah.
And then we'll be,
it won't
and then,
be long.
And then Jamie's going to be down there in Phoenix going, it's not so bad in Phoenix. It's kind of nice here. All summer, she was going, this is a godforsaken place. This is hell on earth. And then in January, she's going, this is really nice here in Phoenix. This is the greatest place ever.
But let me tell you, your neck of the woods in Lexington is beautiful no matter what time of the year you're there. That is a gorgeous part of the country.
Yeah,
sure
it
is.
It certainly is. Well, thank you, Wayne. We appreciate you calling. Happy holidays to you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you guys. Take care, and I'll be watching the reincarnation list to see exactly where this goes.
All right. Good.
Okay. Take care.
Bye, Wayne.
All right, let's take a break for our commercial for our sponsor today, and then we'll be back with Chris, I think, who's calling in to talk about a live show she has going on Sunday.
Yeah, and speaking of the vet conference there, you know you're going to see Pfizer there if you're, I guess Wendy will see Pfizer there when she goes. But Horses in the Morning today is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health and Strongid C2X. Feed Strongid C2X daily, and the results may surprise you. Daily deworming with Pfizer Animal Health's Strongid C2X will help prevent parasites from taking hold. When parasite damage is controlled, the benefits may be visible in your horse's performance, condition, and appearance. And you'll feel better knowing your horse feels his best. So ask your veterinarian about Strongid C2X. For more information about Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com.
Thank you to Pfizer for continuing to be a sponsor of Horses in the Morning. We do appreciate it. Well, we have Chris Stafford on the line, who, of course, is host of many of the shows here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
So you have something fun coming up this weekend, huh?
I do. This Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, we've got a live call-in show with Lucinda Green for the Eventing Radio Show. For 1 hour, a live call-in.
Tell everybody who doesn't follow, who are not eventers, who Lucinda is and why this is kind of a unique opportunity.
Well, Lucinda is one of, dare I say, the icons of the sport. She has passed her competitive career at international level, although she still competes a little bit for fun. But she was one of the sort of forerunners to, I would say, popularizing eventing. She's from England, and she was enormously successful and popular on a number of horses. She's won Badminton four-star events 6 times and, you know, just has an incredible record, world championships, you name it, Burley. She has so many accolades to her bio that if anybody knows eventing, she's one of those names that's synonymous with the sport and continues to play a huge role. She's been a British selector. She's a huge clinician. She travels the world giving clinics, focusing mainly on cross-country because that really was her forte. She's a lot of fun. She's been on the Eventing Radio Show a number of times now. Always enjoys coming on, and people really enjoy having her on. So I thought this would be an opportunity for our listeners to call in and speak to her live because, as you know, the shows are typically recorded. And this is an opportunity to actually get her live responses here for 1 hour on the Eventing Radio Show this coming Sunday.
And she also is very candid. She's very, she'll tell you what she thinks. She doesn't hold much back, Lucinda.
No. Say that. She does. I mean, she has always been, you know, very forthright. She's a very, very self-assured woman, and she knows her subject. And you can tell, and everything that she says is well-qualified.
And that's what makes her, just about everybody that I know that has ridden with her, that makes her their favorite clinician. You do not go away from a Lucinda Green clinic without learning. I mean, she is, you were right, Chris, she is the cross-country master, and she has learned how to teach it to the point where my friends who ride prelim and intermediate are like, I learned things I never knew when they went to the Lucinda clinic. I've never had the opportunity to be close enough to go do one, but I would like to know, Chris, if you can ask her this, you know, she's got to see just hundreds of horses a year that she sees that are starting and eventing. And I want to know, for the people like me who, you know, we can't afford to buy a $40,000 horse that's already been going prelim, when she's going to start a green horse, what does she look for in, like, say, an off-the-track thoroughbred? What are the things that she looks for when she sees a potential in a future event horse?
Well, I would invite you to call in between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Jamie, and you can ask her yourself and get it live from Lucinda.
I think I'd be too nervous. That's that stupid.
All right, that's an unacceptable response from a radio host, Jamie.
It's true. I'd be calling on the Eventic show talking to Lucinda Green. I think I'd lose my mind. I don't think I could do it.
Well, I think we can have a conversation. You can join in our conversation. How's that? Just think of it as a chat between you and me, no one listening. Okay?
Okay, that's what I do on this show because it's true. What is the number to call, Chris, if I'm going to call in with that question?
It's going to be the 34 our number 347-637-3238, the same as our show. And there'll be links on the Eventing Radio Show and on Horse Radio Network to the live player, so you'll be able to listen from either of those places.
And all over our Facebook pages too, to remind everyone.
Yeah.
And you know, don't be intimidated about calling in, no matter what level of the sport you participate in, or just enjoy it. If you just enjoy watching eventing, you know, Lucinda's one of these people that she doesn't talk down to anyone. She is so embracing of anyone, whatever their level of interest. And even people like Jamie Jennings need not be intimidated by calling in and talking to her.
Okay, fine. 2 to 3 on Sunday. That's between 2 and 3 o'clock Eastern, correct?
Correct, yes, at 2 to 3 Eastern. Call into that number that we'll post absolutely everywhere, not least of all on the Eventing Radio Show. You'll be able to go there, click on that link, and Lucinda and I will be here for an hour to take your questions.
That's
hey,
cool.
Chris, on a different subject, Jamie, when she co-hosted when we were at the National Horse Show there, she got in my case after the show, just like you do all the time, about I wanted
I
to
get on your
horse,
case,
okay?
Jamie, Glenn?
Yeah.
Do I really?
You got on my case because you didn't get to pick the song that day. You wanted to pick the song, and we didn't just talk about it ahead of time, and then you were all mad at me, just like Jamie gets mad because I don't let her pick songs either. So I will allow you the opportunity today to pick a song, and if I have it here, I'll play it for you.
Well, you know, Templeton Thompson's a regular here on the show. I know she's a great friend of mine, her and Sam, and I adore them. And, you know, I really got to know all of her music since I've got to know her in the last couple of years. And my favorite still today is Guardian Angel.
I think I might have that. Hold on. Let me check. I do. I have Guardian Angel here. So today's song that we're going to play is thanks to Chris here. Do you have somebody you want to dedicate it out to, Chris? We'll act like we're a real radio show.
Let me dedicate it to everybody who's ever listened to any of our shows who is as passionate about horses as I am, and that's every one of you.
That's a good one, Chris. I get some brownie points for the listeners.
Now,
thank
Glenn,
Glenn,
seriously, though, you got to do better asking for a request and dedication. Have you never listened to Casey Kasem? I mean, you got to, like, milk this story. And now, Chris, we're going to ask you to go ahead and reach out across the airwaves to those that you love and those that you care about. And go ahead and send a little love in their direction. Now, who, Chris Stafford, would you like to dedicate Guardian Angel by Templeton Thompson to? All the listeners that are listening to, fantastic, it is currently sunny and 78 degrees here, and the traffic report.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. She could have passed for a cowboy, the way she carried herself, and that 50 pounds of leather, put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, and we started out walking. Up until that moment, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come the time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, oh, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry. You feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get right, sit deep in the sand. Remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. I remember what she told me, it's clear as a bell, as it was on that morning. It was kind of like a blessing and a warning. Her car heads out of the driveway. She'll have had enough of doing things my way. It'll be her turn to fly, and I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Never ride back. Templeton Thompson and Guardian Angel here on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Pfizer Animal Health. Okay, I'm done being DJ. I'm going to complain. I'd like to lodge a company union complaint.
There's a form for that. You can send it in to the people that care.
Union complaint. I will be heard, by God. Okay, so like Chris calls in once, just once. And she gets to pick the song, and I'm here, like, every day, and you never let me pick the song. You let me pick the song on my birthday, okay? I see how things work. It's cool. If I hang up and then call in again, like I've been doing the past couple of days, can I pick the next one?
You know, I'm kind of having second thoughts of this reincarnation, coming back as a stud horse, dealing with all these women. It's hard enough dealing with the couple I have to deal with every day. I'm having second thoughts. I'm kind of thinking I know
those.
Why that guy with all the wives has got gray hair. I'm kind of thinking I know why now. Yeah,
it didn't have to be creepy.
All right. Tomorrow, you get to pick the song. I'll let you pick it one day this week. But I have to have it in writing submitted by midnight tonight.
I'll work on it, jerk.
Okay.
But Kristen, you had her song ready, whatever. You can't get my song ready. Ugh.
Ahead of time, by midnight. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they're doing speaking of Chris and that English accent and all that stuff, they're doing a cool thing over in England for the Olympics. They're having some school children design some of the jumps that are going to go on the cross-country course for the Olympics next year. 19 schools across London attended a workshop in June and have sent in 117 designs to the organizers of the Olympic Committee. And they're actually going to take 5 of those designs and use them as jumps on the cross-country course. Isn't that cool?
Hold up. How on earth does a school child know how to design a cross-country jump?
Well, my guess is they're taking a loose interpretation of the design submitted by the school children, and they're going to actually make it safe. That's my guess. But they said they wanted designs that sum up the town of Greenwich, and part of them includes the Millennium Dome and other Greenwich landmarks are going to be incorporated into the jumps. So I just think that's kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it says here that they all went to the test event. So I guess, I mean, because if I was just a regular old school child and they said, hey, go design a Greenwich-themed cross-country jump, I'd be like, what?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, okay. The designs, oh, it says here at the bottom, the designs will be adapted. Perfect.
Yeah, see, adaptive. I think it's a loose interpretation of their submitted plans. But it'll make them feel good about going to watch and see horses jump over their jumps. It'll make them feel good.
Oh, that's very, very cool. Very cool. I think it's a great idea. Hey, Jennifer, just to let you know that if you want to check it out on the bloodhorse.com, there is photos and a description of what your husband failed to do with you this past weekend. Remember that whole go visit Havre de Grace?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't know about it because you didn't tell us. You're in charge of everything that is horse-related, and you're supposed to let us know.
Okay, so currently I'm your event planner for your Lexington-based company where I live in Phoenix, and you want me. I got you into Lane's End. Come on. What else do you want? This past weekend, Havre de Grace, whatever you want to say, visited Vinery, which is like a mile from your house. They brought this mare. You could walk there, exactly. They brought Havre de Grace there to basically just to meet with people before they send her down to Florida for her little vacation. But they walked her around. They let everybody pet her. Everybody got photos with her. They took her out. They fed everybody. And you guys missed it. Sorry, Jen. But go to the Blood Horse and you can see what you could have done.
Thanks so much for reminding me.
Okay. Sorry, Glenn. You're in the doghouse now.
Jeez. All right. I came across something, and we really would like to hear your opinion on this, and we really would like to have a call. It's going to be a little more serious here for the next few minutes. If you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. I wanted to talk to you, Jamie, about, you know, we try not to get too serious on this show, but this is something I came across yesterday. First of all, it's about the movie Buck. And Buck is now out on Netflix on the Instant Play, which surprised the heck out of me because it usually takes them 10 years to get anything on Instant Play. But you can actually go, if you have a Netflix account, and you can go just play Buck right there, stream it. Now, it was interesting because I started reading the comments, and there's about 20 pages of comments, and most of them are good. And by the way, this is a spoiler alert. We're going to talk about Buck the movie. We've held off really discussing this movie in depth because we wanted to give people a chance to see it. And I think that everybody that's the horse person that has wanted to see it, if you haven't seen it by now, then you might want to turn off the show and come back in 15 minutes. Because this is a spoiler alert. We're going to be talking about the movie. And I want to get Jennifer's and Jamie's opinion on a couple of things of the comments I read during that were on Netflix. Now, we all know how comments are. Whether you're looking for a hotel or you're looking at a movie to watch, there might be 1,000 people that love it and 10 people that hate it. It happens every time. It happens with our show. There's people that listen to this show every day, and then we get emails from people who listen to it once and think that Jamie and I are the most god-awful things that ever walked the face of the earth. So I understand that you're going to get those kind of comments, but I always do like to see when you're looking for a hotel and you go to Travelocity or one of those, I always like to read the negative comments, even though they might be haters and they might have had one bad experience, because there's always a tiny bit of truth in everything that you see in those comments. And then you go there and you stay, and it might be better than they ever said it was, and the place is okay and all of that. But, you know, what they said was partially true. I did notice that. So these are the people who gave Buck terrible comments. And I thought that we could talk a little bit about, because a couple of these things did hit me during the movie, but because I'm such an avid horse person, I just blew them off and said, I don't even deal with that mentally. And I think we all do that when we're seeing movies or staying at hotels or whatever. There are certain things that you go, you know, that's a real negative, but I'm not going to let it ruin my experience. You know what I mean, Jamie? Am I making any sense? Okay.
I'm following you.
Okay, so here's a couple of the comments. And I liked old Buck early on. I was sympathetic to his ugly upbringing, and I appreciated that he ultimately found a vocation that he was really good at and which also paid the bills. But as the movie progressed, I came to like him less and less. There is no doubt that he has a way with horses, but his condescending way of teaching and talking to people put me on the edge. And then she goes on and on. I won't read the rest of that one. And I want to go through the rest of these, and then we'll talk about them. I thought I would love this movie, but I was disappointed. Enough about childhood. I thought I would see some of the miracle rescues, but then the one tough horse he couldn't help. I thought for sure he would save this terrible horse, but he gives up, and I am left bawling at the thought of this horse being put down. The next one. Was it just me who got this pseudo-psycho addiction vibe? He's on the road 9 months out of the year, and the relationship with his family, with his wife and his family, is a little dysfunctional. Or is he more involved with the horses than his own family? Next one, last one. Of all the horses that Buck could have shown his gentle method on and how well it worked, he let the Chico horse go to slaughter. We were fans until we saw the movie. Yes, the woman was wrong, but Buck could have saved that horse, yelled at him, and turned him around. What a success story that would have been instead of sitting on a maid horse and looking like a superhero. Cesar Millan, who I think Jamie really liked, has often traded dogs or taken in dogs that were going to be put down. That's what a whisperer does. We've seen horses like this, and they've turned around with time. The entire movie was about how Buck was scarred from childhood and goes on and on and on. So, you know, there are some of the comments that were the negative comments. Now, on the other hand, there were about 1,000 five-star comments, and the movie total has about 4.5 stars. And we all like the movie, so let's start with that. Let's talk a little bit about that scene. It was a shocking scene, and anybody that's seen the movie knows the scene we're talking about, and I won't go into any more detail for those that haven't seen it. We didn't get to really talk about this, Jamie and Jennifer, after to a great length because we were trying not to spoil things for everybody. It comes back to, as a horse person, do you believe that there are horses that are bad? They're just bad apples. They have a screw loose, and they're just never going to be fixed. Or do you believe that all horses with time can be fixed?
I really have a hard time thinking that horse could be fixed. And I'll tell you why. You know, when you work in a vet clinic and you deal with foals that come out of the mother and the mare, and have you ever heard of what's called a dummy foal?
No. Tell me about it.
Okay, a dummy foal is an animal that for some reason when it's born, it does not have like full mental capacity. Either it was deprived of oxygen, it had something happen in the womb, it had something happen as it was being foaled out, and a dummy foal is one that just can't quite get its bearings. And a lot of times, dummy foals, I mean, they can't figure out how to nurse. They don't really know where they are. And they're born and they're just what they look like is they just look confused, like about how to stand up, about how to nurse, about all these things. And, you know, those horses, if they're fortunate enough to be saved, to me, it just would seem like at some point down the road, there's going to be a little bit of a learning disability or something like that. And I'm not saying that all these bad horses come from dummy foals, but there is something that it's got to be something to that. When you see these animals that, you know, they can be brought back and they can be normal horses again. But when you work with a lot of horses that are dummy foals and working at a vet clinic where they specialize in that, we would see a lot of them and you have no idea how many come in every year. Well, those horses have got to go somewhere. And, you know, this horse that was in the movie, to me, you know, maybe it had something like that going on. But what frustrated me about this horse was the complete lack of motivation and responsibility by that god-awful woman that owned the horse. And that horse's life was in her hand. And if they, you know, this review, they sent him to slaughter. I don't think they put him on a truck and drove him across the border to the slaughterhouse. They euthanized
him. Yeah,
that
was a little exaggerated there a bit.
A little dramatic, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just not a fair assessment to put that in the hands of a guy who, you know, he didn't name himself the Horse Whisperer. The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan, I mean, he named his show that. He considers himself a Dog Whisperer. Well, Buck does not consider himself a Horse Whisperer. I've never heard him call himself a Horse Whisperer, say he whispers to the horses. First of all, that's not fair to pin that on him. The movie is named Buck the Film. It's not the real Horse Whisperer. Second of all, you know, he's out there to help other people, and he is on the road 9 months a year. That's what a clinician does. That's what a rock star does. That's what a traveling musician does. That's what a salesman does. It's not fair for whatever review that was to say that he's mentally disturbed and ruining his family because he's on the road 9 months a year. I know people that are on the road a heck of a lot more than that, you know. So that's not fair. I look at Lucinda Green. She travels around and does clinics. Nobody's calling her crazy because this one horse was so out of control by the horse, if you remember in the movie, the woman said she had about 17 to 20 of these things, if I recall correctly, that were in a pasture, and they're all ungelded, completely unhandled. This is a woman who decided to breed horses and is one of the more irresponsible breeders in the entire world that I've seen, and that's why they showcased her on the show. That is another reason why at the end of every show I say spay, neuter, and geld, because geld, yes, people say spay and neuter all the time. Bob Barker says that, but I don't think that people understand how important it is to geld a horse for the actual horse's life. So I find that it's not fair to say that Buck is supposed to take the horse home. How would that? How many horses would that guy be if he took every horse home that he couldn't fix in the middle of a clinic? It's not his job. It's not responsibility. And this is not a Disney movie where everybody goes home happy and sings a song. It was a documentary. This is real life. And this is really the way it happens. And I completely think it's unfair, the reviews that you read.
Well, and, you know,
how you really
feel,
Jimmy.
Tell us how you really feel. So, Jennifer, how do you feel? Do you believe there's horses that just can't? And you, Jennifer, is very good with horses. You know, I've seen her with, you know, probably 100-plus horses over the years. And I can only think of probably 2 or 3 out of 100-plus horses that she could not help, that she just could not get through to, that they were not available emotionally, mentally, or physically to have anything done with them. So what's your thought, Dan?
I think there are some horses that the appropriate future for that horse is euthanasia. Absolutely. There are some that are just so far outside the realm of being domesticated for your average human being that it's not fair to the horse or the human.
Well, and I agree. I think that, we've seen a couple of them over the years that were just plain dangerous. I say has a screw loose, but they were just plain dangerous horses. And we assume, you know, there are people like that, too, that are never going to be rehabilitated. They're sitting in jail for their entire lives, and they should be, because they just had a screw loose from the time they were little. And you're not going to fix them now. They're dangerous human beings. That's why they're in jail. Why do we think that that does not exist in the animal world? You know, would there be a reason it wouldn't exist in the animal world? I don't know.
Well, it exists in the domesticated animal world. It doesn't exist in the feral animal world because Mother Nature weeds them out.
Yeah.
But human beings don't. We allow those to continue for various and sundry reasons, and there's a very wide range of suitability to be a domesticated animal. But as I said, some of them are so far at the edge, and you know, I met one the other day. It was a lovely animal, but he was so far at the edge of being safe to handle by any human on any given day. Is it a responsible thing to do as a human being to say, well, I'll fix him so he's wonderful for me, but then
I got to,
you know.
Well, I think what's responsible would be the woman who let a 3-year-old stud colt grow up in a herd with a bunch of other stallions unhandled. I don't even know if he was 3; he might have been older, 3, 4, 5. Unhandled, untamed, educated, and then you bring this feral horse in, and you try one clinic, and you're like, oh, we got to shoot him. Because Buck couldn't fix it. You know what? She's paying that cowboy. Oh, it just makes me mad even thinking about it
have to take a look at here, too, is this was a movie, and I'm sure the producers took some poetic license with some of the things in the movie. So, you know, that's why I'm trying not to direct it back towards this particular horse because, you know, I am sure they had to make a movie. And they had to make a movie that was dramatic and interesting and, you know, all of those things. So we don't know what was cut out of the movie either. We don't know the other side to that story. But, you know, we had an Arab once that she just seemed to have a screw loose. She just, you know, and we tried working with that horse, what, Jennifer, more than a year.
Well, and yeah, she was in a similar situation in that her early, we didn't meet her until she was 3 or 4 years old. Her early upbringing was just plain inappropriate because by the time we came to her, she already had a lot of nuts and bolts loose. And it just got to the point we were not able to get anything tightened up mentally for that horse. And when you start out at the further reaches of trainability and then add to that, you know, like you said, Jamie, irresponsible or completely lack of early handling. And again, it's the human's problem, not the animal's problem. If the animal was feral or left to its own devices in the wild, you know, who knows what would have happened to it. But the reality of it is, if it's a domestic animal, it's going to have to stay a domestic animal for its whole life. So let's get it together and not create that problem from the get-go. Don't just get the foal because it's cute and adorable and you want to raise it with the kids and then end up with a three-year-old animal that's a danger to itself and others.
Yeah. I think, not to make it about me, but I look at my horse Jet, and it took me, honestly, God, a year before I could lead him safely without him trying to bite me, without him spooking, without him bolting, without him trying to get mad. And so, I do think patience is definitely a virtue with these guys. And this woman flooding her horse with it, all of a sudden it's this feral horse, and all of a sudden it's thrown into training and thrown into a clinic. And I just, that wasn't fair, I don't think, to the horse. And I think you can have a little more patience. So do I think that the horse immediately needed to go be euthanized? No. But Jennifer, I think you're right. There are horses out there that, you know, for one reason or another, just can't quite. Mother Nature, Darwinism would take over if that horse was wild and it would get eaten. So that's the way it works in the wild.
Yeah. Hey, if you agree or disagree with us, give us a call at 347-637-3238. We'd like to get your opinion on the topic as well. And, you know,
here's
we get
one.
Back to the, yeah.
Well, what's your opinion? I mean, you've been leading the discussion, but I'd love to know what you think of that scene and that episode and that woman and all that.
I think that there was probably a little bit of creative license taken to edit it in a way that created the emotions that would make us all cry at the end, and make us all gasp and shudder and feel, you know, the feelings that we all did, whether you're a horse person or not. I think there was some of that, but I do believe that there are horses that everything you guys said is true. That we get them later in life, we see them, the bucks of the world see them after they're already screwed up. That's when they get them. And if they had a year, if he had a year to 2 years, he could probably do something with most of these horses. Do I believe that you can do something with all of the horses, just like there's dogs out there that I think you can't do something with because they're just, they have that screw loose? I do believe that there are those exceptions to the rule that are just, and, you know, probably Monty would argue with me and, you know, Pat Pirelli would argue with us about this. I don't know. I just think that there are some out there, just like there are humans, there are some animals out there that you can't, no matter what you do, they're still going to have that vicious meanness. And I don't know that you're going to overcome that with most of them. You might be able to, giving enough time. And then you have to weigh how many broken body parts are worth the time for that particular animal. And that's what you ultimately, what it all comes down to is it worth getting hurt to try and domesticate this animal, basically?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it always comes down to when you decide to get rid of a horse like that? Same with that Arab. We finally decided that we were going to get hurt. We could not do this. Somebody else might be able to do it, but we weren't going to be able to do it. We didn't put the horse down. We found somebody who was willing to take it and try, but they knew going in what the story was going to be with that horse. We told them right up front, this horse is dangerous. You know, anytime you have a horse run through a three-board fence, you have to wonder about the horse.
Lack of self-preservation.
And that's what, you know, we talk about that. Jennifer and I have talked about that in the past with a lot of the horses we have. There are some horses that have a complete lack of self-preservation. You've probably met a few of those, Jamie, and they are really dangerous horses.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I really thought that's what I was going to have on my hands with Jet because the horse just didn't care. Fortunately, he came around, but I have been around other ones that just would just hurt themselves. They would hurt you. They don't care. They revert back to like the natural state mentality and they don't care. So at any rate, it's.
Hey, Smokey's brother just chimed in, or Buck's brother, Smokey, just chimed in on our Facebook page. And he says, the moral of the story is you get more education on proper raising, training, caring, and doing the right thing with the horse in the beginning before you just run out and get one. Good discussion, guys. And he's absolutely right about that. I think, I hope we've made that point clear, is that's where it starts. And, yeah, you're going to have the very rare exception, the one in a thousand that have the screw loose from the time they're a baby for whatever reason. It's a physiological thing more than likely. So you're going to have those, but, you know, 99.9% of them have a better chance when they're started correctly and right. And that's the reason that we have this. I'm getting passionate here. That's the reason that we play.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
I'm not a big believer either in a child, a young teenager, getting a green horse and them growing up together. I think it's stupid. If you haven't had any experience with horses and now you're 12 years old and you've got a green horse that you're going to grow up together, not sure it's such a good idea.
No. Like Smokey said, you know, you've got to educate yourself and you've got to educate those around us. And I think that education breeds interest. And, you know, if you can educate everybody about horses, which is what I feel like this movie Buck did, then you can potentially get people interested. And through the education, you get them interested. And I think that Smokey's right. The moral of the story is to educate yourself and your responsibility to educate others. And that'll help the horses. That'll help you. That'll help the horses, period.
But in those, we all know that that's the ideal world, and you're going to end up with the Chico horses out there. And that, you know, that's what we were really talking about today, is what do you do at the end when you end up with those horses that are like that? You know, do they have a place in this world? I guess that's for the owners to decide. What can be done with them? There is hope, I think, for a lot of them. I think you've proved that with Jet, and what you've done with Jet is absolutely amazing. And for those new listeners out there, which I know we have a lot of, Jet was a horse that Jamie rescued, a thoroughbred, an OTTB, and an OTTD off the track. Off the desert, I would say, because that horse not only raced, but desert raced. She got it from the sheriff's department after it had been repossessed and starved. This was a horse that if any horse in the world should have had an attitude toward human beings and a negative attitude toward human beings, it was Jet. And the time and patience you put into that horse, and now, you had your coach, who is a four-star eventer, tell you, you don't sell that horse. This could be your horse. You know, this could be your once-in-a-lifetime horse. And that started from a case of abuse and neglect and starvation. So what you've done there is actually shown that most of these horses can be, with a little bit of time, saved. Was it dangerous in the beginning, though, Jamie? It probably was.
Yeah. There was something about the horse when I saw him. He was in the sheriff's department. He was in a tent in Tent City, and I saw him in the back, and he looked at me, and he whinnied. And I saw in his eyes a softness. You know, there was the cloudiness from, like, I don't know what on earth is going on, but there was a softness in there. And when I took him home, yeah, he was pretty dangerous, you know, like, just yesterday, he still is that horse, because just yesterday I'm grooming him and he tries to kick me. So that's what I laugh when Barb said, that horse loves you. I'm like, he doesn't love me. He tries to kick me. She was like, well, it could be worse. I'm like, oh, that is a good point. It has been worse.
That doesn't make it hurt any less.
Exactly. You know, it doesn't. But it's just it's an ongoing thing, and it would be really hard to place him with somebody else, obviously, because, you know, here, let me sell you a horse, and here is the entire, you know, 17 train cars of baggage that he has with him. Here, take it all. But, you know, I appreciate what you said about about the horse, but he hadn't gone over the edge. You know, I could tell that there was something in there, a softness and an appreciation. It just took a while to dig down and find it. So thank you for your kind words.
It's still
work.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve it. And you better damn well be at Rolex in 2 years or you're fired. Susie wrote on our page, it was the wrong horse for her, perhaps owned by a more experienced person. It would never have gotten that far off. And a ton of time, it could have done fine, like Buck said. Some folks just don't have the time and money. They need to admit that and just move on. There's too many nice horses out there. And Aubrey posted about the same thing. You know, she said about the same thing, that there's just a bunch of nice horses out there. And do you want to take the time and expense? Because we can't forget about the expense. You know, most of us out there can't afford to have 10 horses. We have one, two, three horses. I think the national average is a person owns three horses. And that's all you can really afford to own. So then you have to weigh, is this one of the three that I really want in my stable? And that's another thing we haven't talked about, is the expense of the time it takes to do that. There's a caller on the line here, Jamie, that I want to talk to, and I recognize the name. We've had him on the show before, and maybe we can get him to chime in on this conversation a little bit, too, if he's brave. And this is Joe Most, who was on our show before, back in September, I believe, and is competing in the America's Trail Horse Competition. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. I'm glad you called. I don't know if you've heard what we've been chatting about. Did you see the movie Buck?
Yes.
We were talking about the stallion scene, and we've been having a discussion here for the last 20 minutes about whether you believe that there are horses out there that are just have that screw loose that just can't be saved, or does every horse have the opportunity to be saved given enough time and patience? Do you have an opinion on that? And then I don't know why you were calling, but we'll get to that too.
Okay. You know, that is a wonderful question. Given enough time and knowledge on the human's part as far as, you know, the person that's working with them and money, I believe probably you can find a job for every horse. Now, and I think that's probably the key, is to what job that horse is going to have and have a realistic outlook on what their future can be. But it's time and effort on every individual's part. Yes, absolutely.
Well, Joe, you took the time and effort for one particular horse, and now is your show coming up soon? I know that the America's – let's tell everybody, remind everybody what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is the AXA, is the America's
competitive
title again? Help me out here.
America's Favorite Trail Horse Competition.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
And is your show coming up soon?
Yes, our show actually airs tonight at 8 o'clock is our episode, and this is the 10th episode, so there's only two episodes left for America to pick their top 10 finalists. And you can go on, if you don't get the channel, it's on HRTV, which if you don't get that channel, you can watch it on www.actha.tv, that's ACTHA.tv, and that's actually where you will go to vote also.
Okay, that's cool. And I know that they've, I was on there this morning looking around because I hadn't followed it in a while, but it looks like there's some serious competitors that I watched a couple of the episodes. There's some serious competitors for the top 10 here.
Oh, yeah, there's some wonderful horse and rider teams that have just done a great job. And, you know, it's a broad spectrum all from walking horses to Mustangs to quarter horses to spotted saddle horses to draft horses and
a mule. I think there's a mule or two, weren't there?
Yes, there's been several mules. One that's made it to the top 10, and the pressure was tremendous out there. You had all these top clinicians watching you with a discerning eye, and then you had the film crew, and then the 200 or 300 people standing behind them watching. So it was a lot of pressure to perform well with your horse.
And now when it comes down to the top 10, then what's going to happen? They're going to have a vote off or whatever?
Yeah. Then after the top 10 are picked, then it goes on November 29th. For America to vote on the favorite trail horse out of the top 10. So hopefully I'll get everybody to vote for my little horse tonight. Voting opens up at 9 o'clock and runs for 48 hours. And the same will happen for the top 10. Voting will open up on November 29th at 9 o'clock and run for 48 hours. Then America will be able to know, we'll be able to see who won the competition on that following Thursday.
And
now,
what's the
I've
name of your
question.
Horse again? Got to tell everybody the name of your horse.
Oh, I've got a little quarter horse. His name is Tough. My wife and I, when we were first dating, she had a stallion and I had some mares. So we decided to go ahead and breed the two. And little Tough was born. And then my wife and I decided, well, we need to go ahead and get married so Tough wouldn't have that illegitimate complex. You know, he'd know that he came from a solid. And so he was our firstborn male child. And he just has been a blessing, just a super little horse. And we've just been so humbled by him and his kindness and sweetness. And he just met, was a great cross between those two horses. We still have his mom and dad, as a matter of fact.
I was to get back to the voting, if I may, real quick. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars last night, and you can vote, and you can text or call your vote, but you have a certain limited amount of votes. I can only vote 4 times for Derek via text. How many times in the 48 hours can I vote for you?
Okay, you can vote once per email address or 10 times per IP address.
Okay, perfect. 10 times per IP address, which is your whole computer system, or
right.
Just once with an email. So those people that have 10 email addresses, they can send all 10 votes from their computer.
That's right. And now if you still have trouble getting on, you can go to Tuff's Facebook page, and my wife Penny has put all the links, and it's his Facebook page is Tough number 337. He actually has 2 Facebook pages, or Tough Most. So please go on and friend him. He's getting very good at using the computer. My wife's been teaching him. It's still a little struggling. He hunts and pecks, but he's getting the hang of it.
Well, thank
you so
much for calling in, Joe. We appreciate it. Of course, you're sponsored by one of our great sponsors, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. So I want to give them a shout-out at kppusa.com. Thanks, Joe. We're running out of time here today. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I sure appreciate it. Y'all have a great
All right.
day.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Well, I wanted to just to finish up our conversation before, I wanted to tell everybody who might be new listeners out there that we loved the movie overall. We've had 1,000 conversations. We've had Buck on the show. We've had the producers on the show. We have covered this movie endlessly. And so we loved the movie overall. We just thought today we would take a look at some of the people who didn't like it and why. And that's why we had this conversation today.
You don't have to justify. It's cool. We can talk serious every now and then. I mean,
well,
I tell a story
just
about my great-grandmother peeing on a saddle, and then we talk about this. So just it's the way the show works.
That's
okay?
Why this show is called a variety show. It's a vaudeville act. Jamie's vaudeville act.
Oh, geez.
All right.
Well,
thank you, everybody,
so
for listening. We really appreciate you tolerating us being a little serious for a change. But it was an interesting conversation, and I appreciate it. We'll be back again tomorrow with more silliness, we promise. Hey, it's Wednesday. I'll have some crappy lists.
Tomorrow?
Isn't tomorrow Wednesday?
Yeah, that's right.
I'll have crappy lists. Crappy list Wednesday. Yep.
You better find it. Find it quick. All right, everybody, have a great day. Please remember, yes, spay, neuter, and geld.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Wear your helmets. And if you live in our part of the country, enjoy the rain. Short nose rain.